This is the anthem. Here's what you came for.
Welcome to the Disney Beat, a podcast brought to you by thedizinsider.com. My name is Sean Nyberg, and I will be covering all of the Disney headlines to keep you informed as you start your week. Hello there, this is Sean Nyberg, and this special edition of the Disney Beat Podcast is being recorded late in the evening of December 10th, 2020. Let's dive into the news. So, by late, I pretty much mean super early on December 11th. It is 12:30 in the morning right now when I'm recording this. Thank God I'm on the East Coast time. Thank God I'm not on the East Coast time. I'm recording on the West Coast. So, we're going to dive into this special breaking news edition of the Disney Beat. So we're doing this as we are just coming out of the Disney investor event that happened earlier today. There was so much news, so many projects, and so little time. I am literally running on fumes from my afternoon coffee. I barely have any adrenaline left, and I'm just really got a desire to get this project done, so let's get into it. If you follow me on Twitter, at Sean Nyberg, I live tweeted the four-hour event. And, it was pretty mind-blowingly crazy how much information was coming. And to try to keep up, right? And I'm writing alongside, not physically, but the Diz Insider, which I write for. That's the website I write for. They were all taking the stuff and writing stories for the website while I was doing I was doing play-by-play. And they were doing color commentary, you know? And so, it was 4 hours of that slot. So, we did a great job, though, and it's fun. And, I'm talking about it now like I'm complaining. It doesn't happen very often that we get 4 hours of pretty hyped-up Disney news. The only bummer is that there wasn't really anything about parks. But, let's be honest. Right now, there's nothing going on with parks. So, But, anyways, let's get into it. I wrote a script. We're going to be on tonight. I'm going to move through it fairly quick just so I can get to bed before the sun comes up. So, let's do this. So today was the busiest day in a very, very long time for those of us who cover the Disney company. Earlier today, Disney held the Disney Investor Day 2020. This is their annual event aimed at Wall Street, where they typically make big headlines regarding the structural changes being made to the company and things like the forecasts regarding those changes. This year, it was part Investor Day, but also kind of part D23. And D23, if you don't know, is the official Disney fan club, and they hold events every other year in Anaheim. And those are the events that we typically get, movie trailers, and, stars show up sometimes, and they make big casting announcements. Sometimes they perform a song from a show. Those events are really heavily for fans, where these investor days are heavily for investors. So, we all knew it was going to be heavily towards investors, but when they said the event was going to be 4 hours, that is 2 hours longer than 2019's event. And 2019's event introduced Disney Plus's platform and a price point and the release date. So that was one of the bigger announcements they made, and that was only 2 hours. So we knew with the 4 hours we were going to get a lot of content, because we know that people are we're in the pandemic. We need some. We know the light is at the end of a very long tunnel coming up, and it's really cool to know that we have fun stuff waiting for us when we get out. So, So earlier today, the Walt Disney Company, they presented a glowing list of upcoming projects, and they revealed unbelievably high subscriber growth among their streaming services. Just a quick reminder, as we dive into this, so we don't have to keep going over it, Disney owns, obviously they own Disney Plus. They also own ESPN Plus, and they have a controlling interest in Hulu. So those three U.S. Streaming apps, Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and Hulu, are all owned and operated by Disney. They will eventually own Hulu outright. They currently own 2/3 of it. They used to be Disney owned a third, Fox owned a third, and Comcast, which is NBC Universal, they owned a third. So when Disney bought Fox, they got Fox's third. And so they have a controlling interest. And I know Comcast, you know, they're considered just a silent partner. And they're just providing some content and they're taking, you know, they're getting money. And when their contract runs out here in the next couple of years, Disney has to buy them out. So we won't get into it tonight, but there's, you know, Disney does have an interest to keep the value of Hulu somewhat reasonable until they buy Comcast out, because Comcast buyout price will be whatever 1/3 is of a of the reasonable, or the, you know, the value of the company at the time of the buyout. So you know, Disney doesn't want to tank it, but they also don't want to be dumping in, you know, billions of dollars extra to invest in it just to have to turn around and pay a higher buyout price to Comcast. So anyway, that was just a little bit of fun stuff you can learn on my podcast. You know, I graduated from law school about 10 years ago, and one of my best friends of all time is a stockbroker. So we watch these things closely. We try to dig in a little bit deeper than some of the other podcasts can, just because we have the education and experience about some of these things. So anyway, that's just a heads up about what Disney owns. They also own Hotstar, which is the streaming service in India. And it's kind of like their Hulu. And they own Star, which is, so we have Hotstar in India, then we have Star. And that is what they use for Latin America, Europe, Canada, Australia. Those are already established streaming or media sites, right, that Fox owns. So when they got Fox, they also got those streaming assets. So, you know, someone might say, well, why don't they have Hulu in, you know, India and Europe and in, you know, Latin America down south? Because they could, but that would mean they would have to, like, introduce this brand new app to people. And that, you know, that takes billions of dollars to, like, you know, get them familiar with something. You know, we know Hulu just because it's been around, but they don't. So what they did was they took a brand that was respected and well-known, and they're just going to build on that. So anyway, just an overview before we dive in. I know we're still doing overviews at about 5-6 minutes in, and yeah, it's going to be that kind of podcast, but I'll try my best to keep it moving. As my fiance Paul likes to tell me when I'm walking slow, keep it pumping, queen. He'll say to me, keep it pumping, queen. Love it. I'm a 38-year-old grown man, and he tells me to keep it pumping. So, all right, so this is important. It's just important to have that background, because today's news was tied primarily to their streaming services. And it's in the industry lingo, they call it direct-to-consumer, or DTC for short. It is clear that Disney is putting all their chips into this division. We knew that. We knew that, you know, we've known that for a while, but we really got a beat over our heads back in November for the Q4 earnings call. They really, really made it clear that, you know, they're not just talking. And then when everyone asked Chapek and who's the CEO, and Christine McCarthy, the CFO, asked them, like, okay, well, what do you mean by that? They're like, just wait till December 10th. You'll see. And so we saw. Trust me, we saw. So just to get this out of the way, at the top, there was little to mention of Disney's Parks, Experience, and Products division. The reason being twofold. First, well, half of them are shut down. And while their future isn't in doubt, the timing is still unknown, and that's not something you can really present to investors, right? So these parks are shut down. We know they're going to reopen. They're not shut down due to, you know, Disney being bad at running parks. They're shut down because of the global pandemic. But we do know that things are going to change and by springish summer of this next year. So we know they're going to reopen, and we know based off of they've done a lot of research, and not just Disney, but these outside investing firms like Wells Fargo, KeyBank, with the bank, the K in the bank is a lowercase C, so it's not Key Bank, but it's Key Bank. They did some research, and Morgan Stanley, and their private research showed too that there's a lot of pent up demand for these parks that people they're willing to go, like, once things are kind of clear. So they expect that the revenue from the parks is really going to pick up very, very quickly. But the question is still uncertain, right? We know it's going to happen, but, you know, you really can't show up to an investor's event and just be like, we know something's going to happen at some point. So that one reason. And the other real reason is that the Parks, Experience, and Products division is actually incredibly solid for Disney. They call it, and by they, I'm talking about the investors. I read their reports the other day leading up to this. They call it Disney's flywheel. And what that means is, when Disney's not in a pandemic, their parks division is just completely reliable. It churns the engine for the company. They've mastered the industry over the last, 50, 60, 70 years, and they are not making any major changes coming to the division anytime soon, which is good. So I made this analogy real quick about how direct to consumer, like the streaming stuff, is like salads and chicken sandwiches and McGriddles at McDonald's. Like, they introduce salads and chicken sandwiches and McGriddles. So it gets all the attention, right? And the parks are like Big Macs, Quarter Pounders, and McNuggets, right? They're reliable, they're strong, and they really drive the engine for McDonald's. They keep the lights on. And then they can spend some of their extra money or some of their money on these little other things that could become big, right? They could become big, but the parks are like that. So they don't really talk a lot about them in these investor calls because they're reliable, they're consistent. Yeah, they'll fluctuate here and there, but really nothing, they're not going to double in a quarter, and they're not gonna, barring a pandemic, they're not gonna sink, in a quarter. So, Disney also didn't speak a lot about their other media outlets, and by this I mean ABC, ESPN, and the Disney Channel. They spoke about them in the context of streaming. So now we do talk about, especially ESPN, in streaming, but they weren't mentioned when speaking, but the media part of it, and this is what gets us slightly confusing. So, when you turn on your if you have a TV and you turn on your cable and you see ABC, or you turn on FX if you have FX or ESPN on your television, you go to the channel and you change it. They consider that linear programming, right? Because you're not streaming something; you are seeing what is being presented at that moment, right? What's being broadcast. Now you might be able to record it on your DVR, but those channels are different than like ESPN Plus. So ESPN on the cable box and ESPN Plus are obviously looked at completely different, right? So like, and it's easier to get a live game on ESPN on linear, like the actual cable channel, because it's a live game, it's easy. More so than trying to get a live game on a streaming. They do it, but it's just not quite as good yet. So my point is, since they're shifting so much of their energy to direct to consumer, the streaming stuff, then what's naturally going to happen? These networks are going to fade out, kind of, right? Because Disney's not really doing it. Disney's following the consumer trend, but people, and I'm sure you listen to this, either you've already done it, someone in your family or some friend or coworker has, they call it cord cutting, right? Where they cut the cord and they dump their cable. They keep the internet, right? But they dump their cable package and they just go to streaming, right? So they'll get, Disney Plus, they'll get Hulu, they'll get Netflix, they'll get, whatever, right? And so people are doing this in droves, right? Huge amount of people are doing this. And it's really putting a lot of these networks in a bind. Well, the thing is, Disney's running one of the top two streaming services. At the same time, they're running these networks that are getting squeezed. So it's just a really interesting balance to watch them do it, because we all know the writing's on the wall, right? And if you look really closely, a lot of the business activities happened with the company in the last month or so. They're pulling, they're laying off. Okay, first, they've laid off a lot of people in the parks, right? And you might have heard about that, the theme parks, cast members being laid off, right? This is separate. A lot of those people are going to have their job back once the parks can reopen, or at least open to full capacity. What's happening with these media networks is like ABC and Disney Channel. They just closed Radio Disney, that division, just closed it. And they're shrinking it and shrinking it and shrinking it, right? But these networks have contracts with cable providers. So they just can't like have FX and just have like a blank screen, right? So I just bring that up because they don't dive so much into the actual linear networks in this presentation, just because everyone knows what's happening. It's not going to be fun. Watching the sausage gets made is not exciting, but I'm just curious to see at what point does Disney, if they will cut. I don't think they will. I think they need ABC. They need that connection to something, in cable. Well, they're broadcast, but in broadcast or cable. So, but we'll see, right? Because ESPN still brings in a lot of people. But anyway, those are just the two big things I wanted to say that we're not really going to talk on after. It's funny. I say, we're not going to talk a lot about them, but I spend a lot of time talking about them to tell you that we're not going to talk a lot about them. But those are two big things. You know, they weren't really discussed, and that's kind of why I wanted to discuss them before I got into what was presented, because this is all the stuff that's going on behind the scenes. This Investor Day was not even like the quarterly earnings calls where they have to say the bad stuff too, right? This is just all just fluff, right? This is all, I don't say fluff, that makes it seems like it wasn't important, but it was all good stuff. Because why, who, I mean, that's not a Disney thing, and it's not like an evil corporate thing. I mean, if you're making a presentation to someone who's going to invest in your company, you know, I know we're not supposed to like Wall Street, we're not supposed to like investors, but they are investing money into your company, right? And giving you capital or sticking around with you while you grow or not grow. And so they're gonna give the best of them, right? It's like going on a date, right? Disney just went on a big date today, and they really want to put the best foot forward. So now let's dive into this thing, excuse me, and talk about what we did learn today. So none of this like background stuff. So let's talk about their first year subscriber growth for Disney Plus. So let me just also, I have a lot of these little footnotes, right? Basically, so many footnotes that like the actual content is the footnote, and the footnotes are the main page. But I'm not going to dive too much into the numbers. They talked a lot about numbers, especially towards the end, because I know from someone who listens to podcasts often, numbers, too many numbers. I mean, I consider myself bright. Like I said, I got my law degree. I got my undergraduate in University of Washington political science. I'm a smart guy. Passed the bar exam. I still get a little bit like, what? You know, by the third set of numbers, I'm like, wait, I lost. Wait, who's where, huh? Just so you know, they did release a lot of numbers, but I'm just going to give you kind of the gist and kind of the top line just to move forward. So so the first year of subscriber growth for Disney Plus, when they launched it last November. So technically a year and a month ago, okay? So a year ago. When they launched it, there was a five-year forecast for growth, right? To see, so what they do is when they launch it, they sit around, Disney does, and they use, you know, these forecasting algorithms and stuff to see what they should expect to hit in 5 years. So what they did is they forecasted that after 5 years, Disney Plus will have 60 to 90 million subscribers in 5 years. So that would be at the end of 2024, Disney Plus would have 60 to 90 million subscribers. And you know, investors, they have all their own calculations, and they all agreed. Everyone agreed, right? You know, it was kind of actually a little high to some people. Well, guess what? In their first year, Disney actually hit for Disney Plus 86.8 million paid subscribers. So it was forecasted 5 years, 60 to 90 million. In actuality, in 1 year, they hit 86.8 million. Okay, so they are blowing this out. They're at the top end of the 5 year forecast in 1 year, right? Makes sense. Not too much yet, right? Okay, so now forget that for a sec. Now we're going to talk about Hulu. So Hulu, they have 38.8 million paid subscribers currently, which is high. And at the end of all this, I'm going to talk about Hulu and ESPN Plus, what their forecast was and what it is now. So I'm just going to move through with them. So yeah, Hulu currently is sitting there at 38.8 million. ESPN Plus has 11.5 million paid subscribers. Disney Plus still has large markets to open in, including parts of Japan, Hong Kong, South Korea, and parts of Eastern Europe. So the big rumor leading up to today's event was that Hulu was going to get absorbed by Disney Plus, but that did not turn out to be a correct rumor. On a personal note, me, your favorite host, Sean Nyberg, I totally knew that this was not going to happen. No, I didn't know it because I didn't have any inside info, but I just knew it because I think I'm a pretty smart guy. I know I've said that twice, which is really annoying. If I was listening to you and I heard that second one, I'd go, oh my God. Here's what I thought. I go, Disney's not going to absorb Hulu right now. First of all, it's still early and growing. Secondly, Comcast owns a third of it, so they would have a lot to say about it being absorbed. And I just thought, you know, they're going to be presenting this Hotstar thing internationally. So that, long story short, I really knew it wasn't going to happen. But man, the fans and some of the other people out there on Twitter and stuff, they really thought it was going to happen. Like, they were all in. I saw some people just like making just we at the Disney Insider, we reported on the rumor, right? We didn't report it as a fact or as something we can confirm. But there was a lot of people who were really, really, you know, and I was like, oh, I don't know yet. But anyway, turns out they are not doing it. So Disney Plus will have different versions of their Disney Plus in international markets, as Disney will be merging with Hotstar in India and Star in several other countries. The breakdown of this is a bit confusing, especially if you're not looking at a map. So I'll just encourage you to look it up if you're curious about Disney Plus's integration of Star Plus in Latin America, Canada, Europe, India, and parts of Asia. So, but let's stick here in the States. Disney was very bullish when it came to ESPN Plus. So now they're talking about what they're going to do moving forward to make ESPN Plus more successful, right? So Disney was very, very, very excited about this. They announced a long list of new sports content that is going to be available, including live sports, commentary shows that are going to be exclusive to ESPN Plus. Something season two of Peyton Manning's show, which I'm sure there's a lot of people who are not me who are very excited for that. And of course, a continuation of their documentary series 30 for 30, which is something I actually am very excited for, because those are some of the best documentaries around, sports or normal. Another big announcement they made was they procured the broadcasting rights for 2024's SEC college football broadcasting rights. That is big. SEC is one of is the most watched division in college football, and they almost always have the national championship. So they have the big teams, the big games. So because of this, ABC will have the coveted Saturday afternoon broadcasting rights for the SEC game, and along with select Saturday night games. They're really putting a lot of money into ESPN Plus. They also share that they've become the leader of UFC pay-per-view events and will continue to invest in that area. A final statistic for ESPN that I found astounding was that it reaches over 200 million U.S. sports fans a year. That's 200 million. That's like three-fifths the country's population, which I find to be pretty amazing. So, yeah, so there you go. That's ESPN Plus. There, like I said, there's a little bit more on that if you really wanted to go back and watch the presentation. But that was the gist of it. They have a lot of new stuff coming out. That you know, they're getting some good contracts for some exclusive rights to some upcoming seasons. They got some big guys doing some of these opinion shows. So, yeah, all eyes are on that, and it should be pretty exciting. So, Hulu. So Hulu was next. And they started by sharing that they doubled their new paid subscribers in just 3 years. So 3 years, you know, that is pretty self-explanatory. They doubled their new paid subscribers in just 3 years, and that's huge. They announced, they also announced for people who have the bundle, Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus, you've always had to have Hulu with ads. You can never bundle them with Hulu without ads, right? Well, they announced that starting January, they're going to have a new bundle, Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus bundled with, and it's going to be an ad-free Hulu. Starts in January. Now, before we get into the new content, let me get this out of the way. I will for sure leave out plenty of the announced content that they announced. It's not that I miss them. I just need to make sure this episode doesn't go on for hours. I mean, where am I now? 20-ish minutes. Doesn't go on for hours. And for a complete list of announced projects, go to thedisinsider.com or go to my Twitter handle at Sean Nyberg. There is a 177 tweet thread that I did live while the event was going on. And you can skim through that all you want. All right, so let's talk content, right? This is kind of all the fun stuff. So, Hulu. There were some big announcements for Hulu. The Handmaid's Tale is being renewed for a fifth season. It's one of Hulu's most popular original series, starring Elizabeth Moss. Love, 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 love the show. My sister got me hooked. It was funny. I was really sick. I think I had strep throat, like as an adult. which is weird. But I had strep throat and I started it. And the first season of the first episode, right? And I watched like four or five in a row. And I love Dark, right? Like my favorite movie of all time is The Exorcist. I love Dark. But like four Handmaid's Tale back to back to back to back or whatever, that was a lot of darkness. And I was like, told my sister, she's like, oh, watch another. I'm like, I kind of need to space these out. Like, I kind of need like a cold, like not a cold shower, because that kind of insinuates something else. But like, I just needed like a cleansing walk in the rain. You know, I needed to watch like some Mickey Mouse shorts for a while to kind of clear my head. But anyway, it was just a little side story about that Handmaid's Tale. But I love it. It's amazing. Coming back, Elizabeth Moss, season five. They're working on a new project called Nine Perfect Strangers. It's going to star Nicole Kidman, Melissa McCarthy, and Regina King. So that's coming to Hulu. A new series called Only Murders in the Building. And that's starring my favorite comedy duo. And I'm only 38, but I love Steve Martin and Martin Short. I think no two people are funny together. And Martin Short is my dream. Jiminy Glick, his character, love him. But that's neither here nor there. It's a new series called Only Murders in the Building. Starring Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez. You know? Which one of these three does not belong? Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez. A new series called Dope Sick is going to star Michael Keaton, Rosario Dawson, and Peter Sarsgaard. That is also coming. A new series called The Dropout was also announced. This one surrounds the Theranos founder, Elizabeth Holmes, who will be played by SNL great Kate McKinnon. So, Elizabeth Holmes, you guys probably know her. If not, you do know of her. She was this, what do they call it? The Silicon Valley, I don't know, how high did she get? CEO or like, whatever. She was starting Theranos. She had started Theranos. Everyone thought she was this genius. She was getting on the cover of all these magazines. You know, I came into her voice, but it was just like, it was very forced and deep. No, that's not, that's my drag queen. Like, hey. Hey, I'm Elizabeth Holmes. I can't do it. But anyway, she got caught up in all the legal stuff. She was defrauding investors. It was a big, big mess. And so she basically was, pushing this product that had not been created yet. So, but didn't, you know, forgot to tell that. So there's actually HBO has a really cool, really good, thorough documentary on it. But Kate McKinnon is going to be playing her in this new series, for Hulu called The Dropout. That'll be fun. And it is, an announcement that made me do a double take. Hulu announced, everybody, if you're driving, you may want to pull over and stop so you don't get in a car wreck. A new Kardashian family reality series. Yay! If you remember right, they were sadly let go from their previous gig, the Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And, you know, they only have a few, you know, tens of millions of dollars. So they could barely get by without having to work for a few months. So finally they got a new gig and it's with Hulu. So, yeah, they announced that. And they also said it's coming at the end of next year. So the end of 2021. So you're going to have to, you know, it's a lot of sleepless nights waiting for this to come. But this, honestly, though, this is big for Hulu as they've yet to find an original reality series that they have created that has really taken off. Based on what my fiance watches, The Real Housewives, you know, I know there's, you know, hundreds of episodes of that available on Hulu now. Excuse me. But it's not, they don't own, like, ABC and Disney doesn't own Real Housewives. It's owned and stuff by Bravo, which is Universal, which is NBC, which is the Peacock streaming. So my guess is, once they buy Comcast out, Comcast is going to take that with them, right? Which would leave Hulu with not pretty much any kind of reality show. Now, they may want to license it to Hulu, which is great, and they can have it on there for a fee. But my point is, Hulu would much rather have their own original reality shows that they produce themselves, they don't have to pay for from other networks, and that are new, right? Because, you know, those older seasons of Housewives are older seasons. So anyway, that was kind of big. It was funny. They announced it and they kind of moved on. And I was like in the middle of like doing all my tweeting. And I was like, wait, what the heck? Like I did not see that coming. But, so there were a couple announcements regarding FX, which Disney owns. They announced they've renewed It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia for four more seasons. I absolutely love that show. I do. And when my partner and I, my fiance, Paul and I, were at a family, at my family's Palm Desert house when the quarantine kind of started. So we spent 40 some days there, just us two, really tough, right? He really got into it. He did like episode 1, season 1 and did each episode until the very end. And I don't even, man, but every episode we laughed. It was incredible. So they also shared that, then this is another one that was really caught my attention. They have a new series coming out from FX that is being developed based on the film franchise Aliens. Yes, that Aliens with Sigourney Weaver. So, in the movie, Sigourney Weaver is not going to be in the series as far as I know. So Disney acquired this franchise when they purchased 20th Century Fox, and a lot of fans or observers have just kind of been asking, you know, on social media, just occasionally, you know, are they going to do anything with aliens? A lot of the talk actually was more about in the theme parks. Are they going to somehow work it into a theme park attraction now that they have the rights to the property? So this is the first bit of news that we know that Disney is doing something with the Aliens franchise. Okay, when they did the FX segment, they really focused on how the networks... I kind of talk about this. I'm going to kind of skip this. So just the whole idea of, you know, FX... When FX is a linear network and they're just pumping out shows on their channel, you know, they've done great and stuff. But when they moved all their stuff over to Hulu, so all the old stuff, all the stuff, you know, they air on TV, but then they put it on Hulu the next day. They were just saying how big their how big the viewership went. I don't want to give you a number, but it was a massive jump. And so all this amazing work is getting so many more eyeballs on it because it's on Hulu versus just being aired and maybe repeated a couple times, but aired on the cable network. So they really were pushing that, just, you know, the investors to see kind of one of the really big benefits for having streaming, but, you know, and also maybe having a network and having a streamer, right? So you get the network for people who are sticking with their cable, and then it can go right over to the streaming site, and so it gets much more attention. Okay, here we go. I'm staying going. The event then broke down into... the event broke up for the rest of the time based on the different major brands that the Disney company owns, such as Lucasfilm, National Geographic, Walt Disney Motion Pictures, Walt Disney Animation, Disney Pixar, and Marvel Studios. I am going to present these out of order because, well, I can, and it's my podcast, and it is now 1 o'clock in the morning. But let's start with National Geographic, which Disney acquired in the Fox deal. They announced a number of new specials that I am very much excited for. All of these are on Disney Plus. A new documentary film, Cousteau, about the famed explorer Jacques Cousteau, season... Okay, so I did not see that comma. A new documentary film, Cousteau, about the famed explorer Jacques Cousteau. So that was one of the announcements. Also, season 4 of National Geographic's wildly popular series, Genius... which I know before they did, who all did they do? I know they did Einstein and maybe Picasso, but I know they did Einstein. But anyway, season 4, they are producing right now. And this time they're going to feature, Martin Luther King. So he's going to be, that man is going to be who they're going to focus on this season. So season 4 of Genius, Martin Luther King Jr. They have a special, A Real Bug's Life, which is going to look at the bugs underneath the earth, and America the Beautiful. These are two series coming to Disney Plus. One of my all-time favorite directors. Remember when I said I liked like dark stuff? Well, my all-time favorite director, one of them, is Darren Aronofsky. And if you've seen stuff like Pi or Requiem for a Dream, you know, or Mother, you know he's a little messed up, and I like that. But yeah, Darren Aronofsky is teaming up with National Geographic. Who would have thought? They're doing two big projects together. The first is called Limitless, and is featuring Chris Hemsworth. It's a 6-part docuseries about aging and prolonging your life. Basically, they showed a clip of it. It's Chris Hemsworth running around and basically just the boxers, lifting up a bunch of weights, eating vegetables, and talking about how doing this is going to make him live longer. So I was talking to a friend, and I said, you know what? this show looks amazing if I can just mute all that nonsense, like, you know, like suggested healthy lifestyle, and just watch him run around in his underwear eating and lifting things. So I'm all for that. So Limitless. And the second project is that Darren Aronofsky is directing is Welcome to Earth. It's another 6-part docuseries, and this one is going to feature Will Smith as he visits extreme parts of the Earth, right? Yeah, he's going to go, like, I think they showed, like, him going inside of a volcano and all that fun stuff. So, yep, those are two series, Darren Aronofsky, National Geographic. It's going to be on Disney+. Pretty excited. Disney Studios then released a laundry list. Oh, did I skip this part? I don't know where it went. Oh, I must not have wrote it down. There was, clearly I like it so much because it wasn't written down and I remembered it out of the hundreds of things I'm going to talk about. They also announced, it's called Save the Whales. Oh no, something the whales. Oh no. Anyway, just doesn't matter. It's not coming out today, but it's a documentary. It's a 4-part documentary about whales and it's directed by James Cameron. And there's someone else that they announced, who is working on it too, but I missed it because it was going by so fast. But yeah, James Cameron. It's like a whale documentary. It looked like it was filmed beautiful. And anyway, that's coming and I'm really excited. all right, so now we can like step away from National Geographic and Disney Studios. Disney Studios then released a laundry list of new content coming to Disney Plus in the form of series and original movies. They include, but are not limited to, the Mighty Ducks Game Changer series. So, based off of the 90s movie, the Mighty Ducks is getting a series. Turner and Hooch, based off of the, I'd assume, 80s movie, Turner and Hooch, they're getting a series, Turner and Hooch series. A series called Big Shot, which features John Stamos, and it is about a high school women's basketball team. If it's high school, is it high school girls or high school women? I know when they're talking about professional athletes and they're called girls, like is this girls gymnastics? It's really just women's gymnastics, right? They're not girls. But in high school, do they call it boys baseball or men's baseball? Then it should be women's basketball. Wow, we're all working through this together, guys. And I'm sure some of you know and you're yelling it to me right now. But we'll stick with women's. I like it. It's very gender, you know, it's sadly, we have to say that, but that's just that's the script for this show that, John Stamos, and it's about a high school women's basketball team. It's called Big Shot. Wow. Spent a lot of time on that one. They announced a Beauty and the Beast prequel, which is going to be a series, a Swiss Family Robinson series. Just so you know, these are not, the old Swiss Family Robinson that they are breaking up into a series. They have that already on there. These are all new projects. So, but a lot of these are going to be either remakes, sequels, prequels, or something like that, right? Not all of them, but a lot of them will be. So, Swiss Family Robinson series, a Percy Jackson series. Percy Jackson, I know it's a book. It's a book series, and also it was, I think they did 2 movies that were not particularly well liked. But I don't think Disney made them. I think they were made and they bought them since. But nonetheless, they're going to do a series for Disney Plus, Percy Jackson. Another series based off of a popular book, the Mystery Benedict Society series. That's being worked on right now. One called Flora and Ulysses series. The Big, we talked about this on the DisInsider.com. And it's very exciting. I think Skylar, our editor-in-chief, broke this news before anyone else did. Even the trades. There is a big Hocus Pocus sequel that is in the middle of production right now. And it's going to star the original stars, Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy Najimy. So that's exciting. They're working on that right now. They didn't give a release date. I didn't hear it. I mean, I would assume if they're working on it now and it's a Halloween-ish film, they could do all the post-production and stuff in, I don't know, 9 months. But we'll see, you know. But that's expected for Disney Plus as well. And speaking of Kathy Najimy, they also announced that they're going to do a Sister Act 3 with Whoopi Goldberg. So if you're of my generation, I love the Sister Act. I mean, any generation could like it, but I just remember it was like perfect for me. I love those movies, so I was really excited to hear that. Sister Act 3 is in the works, and it's going to star Whoopi Goldberg. They're doing a Cheaper by the Dozen remake. Cheaper by the Dozen, starring Gabrielle Union. They're doing a new film for Diary of a Wimpy Kid. That is in production right now. They're doing a new animated Ice Age film, which is coming to Disney+. Ice Age, which is an animated film, is not a Disney film. It was one that was produced over at 20th Century Fox. So when they purchased that, the Ice Age franchise, which does very well at the box office, came with it. So now Ice Age is a Disney film. So good for Ice Age, right? Like, you know, Disney does well with their animated stuff. So, yeah, that's kind of cool, right? So they're going to do an animated movie, Ice Age, for Disney+. And also they're doing a sequel to the very, I remember it was like oddly popular film, Night at the Museum. Another franchise that came with Fox. And but it's going to be an animated sequel. So it's an animated sequel to Night at the Museum, and it's coming to Disney+. So that'll be very, very fun. So Walt Disney Pictures presented a number of their projects next. Now, there was a bit of an overlap between some of these Disney Plus series and upcoming Walt Disney motion pictures, and some of those are going to be on Disney Plus. So a little, it got a little gray when we went from Disney series and stuff to Disney movies. So we're just still kind of in that whole same Walt Disney production tent right now, right? We're not in Star Wars yet or anything else. However, this does lead us to another one of the big news stories from today. Disney will continue to release films in theaters, period. I mean, more specifically, and the question really was about for 2021. And the reason that came up is because Warner Brothers, which is owned by AT&T, who owns HBO Max, they announced, without telling any of the creative teams on these movies, that is just astounds me, blows my mind. They didn't talk to anyone. They just dropped it 1 week ago on Thursday that they, for 2021, their entire slate of films, and some of them were expected to be really, really big blockbusters, they're all going to be released simultaneously on HBO Max and the movie theaters at the same time, which takes almost all of the wind out of the sail, because, you know, people are going to watch it at home. You know, it's cheaper. It's more convenient. I get. So they had this blanket rule for all of 2021, Warner Brothers did. And people were at first it was like, whoa. And the market responded positively, and people were like, okay, look at them. Look at them making big deals. But then it started trickling out that they didn't really talk to any of the creative people who've spent 3 years making this film, or people who've been writing it their entire life. And then it's not one film. It was their entire 2021 releases, right? Ones that were coming out in the summer, coming out in August, coming out in the fall, and coming out in December. Those films, I mean, even if the COVID vaccine is a slow rollout, even if we have a lot of people who don't take it for whatever reason, things are going to be, people are going to be back in the theaters by next fall, right? And so people are really upset about this, especially when the word got out that they didn't, and this isn't Disney, remember, this is Warner Brothers, that they didn't give these creators a heads up before they announced it. So a lot of, once this announcement happened last week, everyone was like, oh God. So this is, they're like, AMC, Regal, Cinemark, all these theater chains were like, what is going to happen to our business? Are we done? Basically, you know, we basically lost a whole year already, and we can maybe slide by, but if we lose next year, we're done. So when we heard that, when the news came out about Warner Brothers, all eyes were on Disney, because they are the king, especially recently, of box offices. So if their big ones were going to Disney Plus only, then it could have wiped out the entire industry. It did not. And Disney did announce that they are going to be releasing some movies in the theaters, and they're going to do a case-by-case basis, you know, obviously looking at the health, concerns, you know, seeing if things have gotten better at certain release points, and also look at kind of consumers. Like, you know, some of the movies, I could imagine maybe some of the animated movies that they have lined up for the end of the year, you know, maybe by the time it gets there, consumer behaviors change so much because of COVID. Maybe kids are not going to want to go to the theaters anymore. So maybe they'll have to make some adjustments on those. But there are some really, really big blockbuster films that they're going to stay in theaters. And I know the theater industry was very happy about this news. And, you know, anyone who likes going to the theaters, they're really happy too. So moving on. So let's just look. So here's some of the Disney, the Walt Disney Motion Pictures movies that they discussed. So, they are going to release in July of this next summer, July 2021, the movie Jungle Cruise. So this is the Dwayne Johnson, Emily Blunt action comedy based on the Disneyland ride. This was scheduled to be released this last summer, but we all know how that turned out. It definitely, if you've seen trailers for it and stuff, and you have the gist of what it's about, you definitely know that it's a summer popcorn movie, right? So they pushed it back to the summer pretty quick. It really wouldn't feel appropriate coming out any other time. So that got bumped to July 2021, and it's on track right now. They also announced a live-action Lion King prequel is in the works. So if you remember, they did the Lion King live-action remake. Live-action, CGI, questionable to call it either one, but we can think of it as live-action. They did that, a huge success, made over $1 billion, and so now they're getting a prequel together. It's going to be directed by Barry Jenkins. He directed Moonlight, which won the Oscar for Best Picture, over La La Land, if you remember that whole thing. So he's working on this. It's a Lion King prequel that's going to follow Mustafa, kind of, I want to say his origin, but, you know, it's going to be a prequel, so it's going to be more about, you know, his character. So that's really cool. Then from that live action massive hit to another one. So they're working currently on a live action Little Mermaid, which, you know, we reported on this film a number of times here on the Disney Beat podcast. This is being directed by famed director Rob Marshall, who did Chicago. He did Mary Poppins Returns. He did a bunch of others. He's the king of movie musicals. The filming was supposed to start last March, and they were literally days away from filming, meaning costumes were done, makeup tests were done, sets were built, music was recorded, cameras were all set up properly, all the angles, all that stuff, shot by shot, was figured out. And when COVID hit, they were days away from starting, and they had to shut down production. So we've learned through our sources at the Disney Beat that at the Diz Insider, the news site that we are associated with, we've learned that they are. They've started production. So they started production. There's going to be new music. It's going to be really exciting. So anyways, they just touched on that. And they also announced a new movie, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, which is going to be like a hybrid live action CGI movie. It's going to star John Mulaney, who I love. John Mulaney, stand up, also comedy writer. He wrote for SNL. He's writing right now for Seth Meyers. Sack Bunch on Netflix and all his specials. He's amazing. So John Mulaney and Andy Samberg, who is also SNL, also a writer, the Lonely Island crew. He did a bunch of those shorts. Anyway, he's amazing. So John Mulaney and Andy Samberg, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Huh. I'm just throwing these out there just to impress you guys, because I know this is what really impresses you. So we got a confirmation of a number of stories we broke at the Diz Insider and subsequently here on the Disney Beat podcast. And they all were the same story for different films. So quickly, the story being that the live action Pinocchio, starring Tom Hanks as Geppetto, the live action Cruella, which is the Cruella de Vil origin story starring Emma Stone, and the film Peter Pan and Wendy, they are all being moved from a theatrical release to Disney Plus. These were the big moves away from theaters into streaming, but the news was not abrupt or ridiculous like Warner Brothers, in that it came out slowly, they talked to everyone before, everyone knew, and it's only three films, right? And these three films are going to be released over like a couple years, so it didn't just screw over the theater industry. You know what's funny is I say this like I have any ties to AMC, Cinemark, or Regal, or any of them. I don't. I don't know one person who works for the company. I don't know one person who owns stock in the company. I don't. And you know, and part of me at first, when the COVID was going on, I kind of had a position for a couple weeks of like, you know what? Maybe COVID is going to make these movie theaters obsolete, and maybe that's just where we were going. But the pandemic just made it get us there faster. I'm starting to realize that that's not quite the case. I do think that the major things are going to change in the movie theaters. I don't think we're going to be seeing nine theater, you know, Regal Nines being built up anymore. If anything, you know, they're going to be taken down. I think a lot of them are going to have to shut down because I don't see like rom-coms, you know, or like, I don't know, like, you know, those old Drew Barrymore rom-coms that make like $40 million, or like a, you know, like a indie film. I mean, hopefully they'll still play those on the art house theaters kind of in large cities or, you know, near universities. But I don't see those being, you know, widely distributed. So, I do think there is a need, though, for movie theaters, for that escapism, when things are safe, to be around people, to have popcorn, and popcorn for me. I love popcorn, and I love gummies. I love gummy candy, like gummy bears, chewy lifesavers. That sounds weird, chewy gummy lifesavers, Swedish fish, and popcorn. I'm not a chocolate guy when it comes to mixing with my popcorn. I think it makes a mess, but I digress. Wow, how did I get there from what did I talk about? Oh, I was talking about Peter Pan and them. Okay, so they're all going Disney Plus. Cool. Where am I at now? 50 minutes. All right, what is it now? 1:30? All right, we got this, guys. We got this. We're going to go. They also announced that there's going to be a sequel to the film Enchanted, which starred Amy Adams, and the sequel is going to be called Disenchanted. Get it? Enchanted, Disenchanted. And it is the sequel, Disenchanted, is also going to star Amy Adams, and this will premiere on Disney Plus. Next, we are off to Disney Animation, where we get a slate of some amazing films, including Walt Disney Animation's 60th feature film, set to be released in November. So remember, Walt Disney Animations is not all films that are animated that have Disney in the title. So it's a specific studio, right? And they're the ones that gave us Frozen. They're the ones that gave us Moana. And then there's Pixar, which is different. Like, so Pixar is its own different studio. They're the ones that got us like Toy Story and Up and The Incredibles and Soul that's coming. So it's the Walt Disney Animation that brought us Cinderella, you know, like the classics that from the, you know, the 30s, 40s, Snow White and Seven Dwarfs, Cinderella, Peter Pan, 101 Dalmatians, you know, some of the clunkers, you know, Rescuers Down Under, The Cauldron in the 80s. That was a big flop. But then it also gave us the Renaissance time in the late 80s and 90s, like The Lion King, or first The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Pocahontas, The Lion King, Aladdin. All of those were Disney from the Walt Disney Animation Studio, right? So there are some distinctions. Like I said, there's Pixar films, and then there's the Walt Disney Animation. And so the Walt Disney Animation is kind of sacred in the Disney community, or at least the Disney film fan community. So it's really exciting that we have Jennifer Lee. Jennifer Lee runs it, and she was one of the producers in Frozen and Frozen 2. And if you watch the documentary, she's the woman, she's the primary woman they follow around. There's a documentary on Disney Plus following the creation of Frozen 2, and it's really exciting, and it's really kind of stressful, actually. So I would check it out if I were you. I would check it out. So we first learn that the film Raya and the Last Dragon, which is Disney's next big animated princess. It's not like a princess in the classic sense, but it's like a princess-ish movie. It's, you know, like with a strong female lead as the protagonist. No, antagonist. Wait, as the lead, right? We like her. Man, it's getting late, but we're good. We're good. You guys, we're going to push through this. I have some really big breaking news too coming, so hold tight. Anyway, Raya and the Last Dragon is it's their next big animated female lead movie. So this was set to be released in March, and there was a lot of questions. Like, was this going to be moved to streaming? Because by March, I don't think it's going to be safe, or at least widely safe, to go to the theaters yet. So Disney is, this is the one that they're doing a little mixed bag on. They are going to release this film on Disney Plus for an added fee. They didn't say how much, but it won't be more than $30 like they had for Mulan. So, you know, at the high point, 30 or less. And the movie theater at the same time, right? So you can either go see it if you're in an area where you can go to theaters and you feel comfortable doing it. And it'll be released that same day for a small fee on the Disney Plus subscription to watch it at home. That's the only one they're doing that with. So Raya and the Last Dragon, March. Here we go. That's it. Let's go. Disney Animation will have its first ever series. And because, you know, they do feature films, right? They don't do series, but they're going to do their first series. And it's based on the Big Hero 6 film. I have not seen that film. So when I was writing this up, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I haven't seen that. So I'm going to watch that tomorrow. The series is called Baymax. If you've seen the movie, it's the big white nurse thing, right? I don't know if it's a robot. He just looks like he's squishy. Clearly, I haven't seen it. But the series is called Baymax, and it's going to follow Baymax around. So he gets his own series coming to Disney Plus. They are also working on a short form series called Zootopia Plus. Obviously from the creators of Zootopia, from the world of Zootopia. I didn't write a lot of notes about this because it is happening so quickly, but what they mean by short form series, so it's, and they call it Zootopia Plus, which is just like how the streaming, like just like Disney Plus is, or you go to Disney Plus and you see all the different things. I believe from what they show, just the quick little images, is, you know, the girl that was like, oh, got my hair done. Like, I just got my hair done and look at all this. I don't know. She was a girl walking along the street in the first 20 minutes. Like, they're going to do like a whole Real Housewives of Zootopia around her and like her friends, right? And then they're going to take another character, like a side character from the film, and like put them into a different kind of show that is basically a ripoff of just like a common show we see all the time. So do you see what I'm saying? So Zootopia is going to have a series of short form shows that are made to kind of mimic the shows that we see on streaming, but they're going to use the characters, like the side characters from Zootopia. So I don't know if explaining that made it any more clear, but it's not going to be coming for a little while. So when it comes, we'll have a better idea, because I don't think you could have a worse idea from that explanation. Two long form musical comedy series are being developed to be released in 2023. The first long-form musical comedy series is going to center around Princess Tiana from the Princess and the Frog movie. And the second long-form musical comedy series that's being developed for 2023 is for Moana. So these two huge characters from these two huge movies are going to get their own long-form musical comedy series, which is great. So we can get new music, it's going to be upbeat and funny, and it's going to be a series in long form too, so it's not just going to be like a short. So that's really exciting for Princess Tiana and Moana. And if you don't follow parks, I can just tell you, you know, Moana is going to have a she's going to get an attraction / like interactive element in Epcot. It's going to be called as Moana's The Journey of Water, where like there have these water features that will interact with you. So like if you physically move toward it, it'll like bounce around, you know. So it's going to be some really cool stuff, and it's going to be themed after Moana. And then also Tiana from Princess and the Frog, they're retheming Splash Mountain because we'll be blunt. They based the Splash Mountain rides back in the 80s off of Song of the South, which is a horribly racist and terrible movie. And while there are no clear racist elements that made it in the ride, just the film is absolutely disgusting. If you watch it, like, it's just horrible, right? And so Disney's known this for a while. Disney's known it's been a problem, and they decided this last year they're going to retheme the whole Splash Mountain. It's not going to be like a 2 month thing. They're going to have it shut down for over a year to totally redo it. They're going to gut it, and they're not going to change the ride in terms of like the drops or in terms of how, you know, if you don't know this, Splash Mountain, both in Disneyland and in Disney World, is built out of concrete. Built and formed out of concrete so that the constant rushing of water doesn't wear it off. It doesn't like wear at it, make it break down. So I mean, unless they're going to, demolish or explode Splash Mountain, they're going to use the same ride track, but they're going to change everything else about it. So it's really exciting. So that's not going to happen probably till 2023 in Walt Disney World, and Disneyland's going to be sometime after that. So it's, so far away that we don't need to worry about it. But it's cool though that these two princesses, or leading characters, Moana, they are getting these long form series. I think these series are going to be really cool to kind of keep these characters with the new young kids, because they're going to be living on this Disney Plus stuff. So I think that could have been considered a downgrade maybe 10 years ago if they were to get like a Disney Channel series. It'd be like, oh God. But I think this is going to be a huge upgrade. Finally, they announced, oh my gosh, I have Star Wars and Marvel to go. I'm going to fly, guys. So finally, they announced Encanto, the 60th feature film from Disney Animation that will be released in November of this year. It follows a Latinx family and takes place in Colombia. The music will be written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, whom we all know from his work on Hamilton, and he wrote the music for Moana. Disney Pixar... Let's back up that transition. He wrote the music for Hamilton, and he wrote the music for Moana. Period. Break. So, Disney Pixar is next. We get a new clip from the upcoming feature film Soul that will be released Christmas Day, just in this month, just a few weeks away, on Disney Plus, and this one's going to have no added cost. This film was expected to be released earlier in the year. It got pushed back to November, and then eventually just got pushed to, and there it was going to be in the theaters, right? And because of COVID, it got pushed to Christmas Day, and it's going to be a no extra fee. It's going to just be a part of the Disney Plus. And the reviews that are coming in for this, because, it was supposed to come out earlier, so a lot of these reviewers have been holding on to their reviews for a while. So some of them have come out. I think it still holds 100% on Rotten Tomatoes with like 40-some reviewers. So this could be one of the best reviewed Disney Pixar films. It was directed by Pete Docter, who directed Inside Out, which we all know is a brilliant film. I mean... Right, you may not like it for other reasons, right? Because some people don't like amazing film, but you can't deny that it's not a brilliant film. Especially like a brilliant film presented for kids. Like, you don't normally get stuff like that. So anyway, he directed this. It's going to be amazing. And my favorite, because I'm a gay man and I love me some Tina Fey. She plays a big character in this movie. She's not shown very much at all, if at all, really, in any of the previews, except for one time I saw it. In terms of showing her, I mean her voice, because I think it's going to almost be like Bing Bong when they did Inside Out. They did not use Bing Bong in the advertising for the film. And so when you saw him, like, I don't know, just was like a special thing in the movie because they didn't overuse him at all outside, right? They could have. I mean, Bing Bong, Bing. He's such a crazy, fun character, and everyone loves Richard Kind, who did his voice. So I think that they're going to kind of do the same thing since it has the same director. I think this Tina Fey character is going to be a lot bigger and funnier and like refreshing character in the movie, but they really have not used her at all in the promotion. So I really look forward to see that. I could be completely wrong. Maybe she does two funny lines and that's it, but we'll see. But that's not how my Tina Fey would do it. Soul this Christmas, get with it. They announced the new Pixar popcorn mini shorts, which sounds like something my niece would put on a Christmas list. Pixar popcorn mini shorts. They're coming to Disney Plus in January. Another new series, Pixar, called Doug Days. Doug Days. It's a new series, and it's surrounding Doug, the dog from Up. You know that dog, right? Squirrel. That's coming in fall of this year, so fall of 2021. A really cool project I was impressed with from the premise. Listen, this thing's called Win or Lose. It follows a co-ed middle school softball team leading up to the championship game. Now, each episode is going to cover the same time period, but each episode is going to be seen from the different perspective of each character, of each of the teammates. So that's cool, right? Like, we're going to see the same time period. And I just think, you know, especially high school playing sports, it's co-ed softball. You know, it'll be really cool if they do it properly, you know, just to see all the little idiosyncrasies, all the little things that we think about, all the fears that we have. Oh, they're thinking of me. They don't like me. I'm not good enough to play. I'm worried that they're going to judge me. And, you know, kind of get that from everyone else and see how, oh, okay, we all have these fears, you know. We do something that we think that everyone's thinking about and talking about when it finds out that no one is thinking about it or talking about it because they're just worried that we're thinking about and talking about them, right? And so I just think that'd be really cool. And I think something really, if they do it properly, which I'm sure they will because Pixar does great stuff, it'll be really cool for kids of that age to see too, right? It'll be just, you know, it's a good way to teach them about emotions and about perspective without presenting it to them like a lesson. So anyway, it's going to be a Disney series on Disney Plus. So check that out. It's coming fall of 2023, so we've got, what, 3 years? Three years. So Disney Pixar's next feature film will be released in theaters. See, they're releasing them in theaters. This summer, actually, the film is called Luca, and it takes place in Italy. It is expected to be released on June 2021, so this June. Spring of 2022 will usher in another new Disney Pixar film that's going to theaters called Turning Red. And that is going to be followed just a few months later by another Disney Pixar film expected in theaters called Lightyear. This is where I just keep going because I've been talking for an hour now and it's getting late. But I just want to explain this real quick. So Lightyear, while it is an original film, it's... Okay, so you know Buzz Lightyear in the Toy Story films is an action hero, right? And the action hero Buzz Lightyear in the films is obviously modeled after a human character in that world called Lightyear, right? I don't know if his first name is Buzz, but let's go with it. So the idea is that this movie is going to be following the human Buzz Lightyear, who is an astronaut, who inspired the doll, Buzz Lightyear, voiced by Tim Allen, right? So it's gonna be a movie that follows called Lightyear, and it follows the human that inspired the doll in this fictitious animated world. The character of Lightyear is gonna be voiced by Chris Evans, which is exciting because we love Chris Evans. Okay, the two big. So I might go through this pretty quick, and I know I keep saying that, then I get stuck on some dumb fact, but we're going to turn now to Lucasfilm, which is, you know, aka Star Wars. Disney is currently working on 10 new projects for Star Wars, and they're working on 10 new projects for Marvel too. I'll run through them fairly quickly, and I'll start with Star Wars. So they start off by announcing that season 3 of The Mandalorian will be released on Christmas Day, December 2021. So next Christmas. A year from this Christmas, season 3 of The Mandalorian will start. So it's not going to start in November like it has been. Okay. They then announced a number of upcoming Disney Plus series, including The Rangers of the New Republic and Ahsoka, which obviously follows Ahsoka Tano, the character Clone Wars, and she popped up in The Mandalorian this season. So she's getting her own series. And they announced the new series Andor that it's coming summer of 2022. This will serve as a prequel to Rogue One, and it'll follow the character Cassian Andor. So Cassian Andor was a character in Rogue One, and it's a prequel because, spoiler alert, well, I won't do a spoiler alert, but yeah, it's called Andor coming 2022. They also confirmed the Obi-Wan Kenobi series starring Ewan McGregor. We've known about this project for a while now, but they shocked everyone today. It was kind of crazy. You can almost hear social media go, they announced today that Hayden Christensen will be returning to play the young Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker. So Hayden Christensen played Anakin Skywalker, who becomes Darth Vader, during the two prequel episodes 2 and 3. Okay. The Clone Wars and what is it? Some people yelling to me right now. I'll look it up later. Don't worry. They're episodes 2 and 3. So he played Darth Vader then. He got a lot of really horrible reviews for his acting, especially in episode 2. He got a lot better in episode 3. So anyway, that was really big news. People were like, holy, oh no, like Hayden Christensen's coming back. Anakin, we're going to see him. So that was a lot of fun to hear. A new Star Wars animated series called The Bad Batch is being produced, and we got a trailer for it. All these trailers and all these like videos and pictures and stuff I'm going to talk about, you can see them over at the Disney Insider anytime. So there's a new series, Lando. It's come to Disney Plus. It's created by Justin Simien, who created Dear White People. And the series obviously is going to follow Lando Calrissian. A new series called The Acolyte is coming. It's taking place in the final days of the High Republic, along with a fun new Star Wars series titled A Droid Story, where they follow R2-D2 and, I believe R2-D2 is, yeah, I know he's a droid, but I think, yeah. Anyway, they didn't show much of it. I think they just showed an image of it. So, but look, they said it's going to be, you know, more upbeat, fun, kind of, you know, funny and more not so serious. There are two projects that were announced during this time too that were not Star Wars related, but they're produced by the same production company, which is Lucasfilm, George Lucas's old production company that he sold to Disney. The first is a new series called Willow, which will be based around the characters from the film of the same name. If you guys remember that from the late 80s, Willow, they're going to do a series called Willow based on the same stories for Disney Plus, and Warwick Davis, who played Willow in the original, is going to come back to reprise his title role. So that's exciting. And Indiana Jones 5 is being produced and will come to theaters July 2022. And Harrison Ford is coming back to play the iconic character. So this thing's been kind of in production hell for a lot longer than COVID-19, but looks like we're finally getting some movement on it. Steven Spielberg was lined to direct it. He pulled out, and he's still involved. He's a producer and like actively producing it, so it's not like he's got bad blood or anything. But it just changed directors, changed writers, all that stuff, which I'd say more often than not can kind of lead to more to a less than stellar film. But there have been some in the past that actually turned out to be a pretty amazing film. So yeah, fans are really excited for that. We also learned that a new Star Wars film is coming Christmas 2023 called Rogue Squadron, and that is being directed by Patty Jenkins. She is the director known for her work on the Wonder Woman franchise. So Patty Jenkins will be directing Rogue Squadron coming 2023. And finally, well, that was it for Lucasfilm and Star Wars, but we finally, in terms of new stuff, as I hit the 1 hour and 10 minute mark, we finally get a rapid fire presentation of upcoming Marvel projects. People, friends, I have to tell you, when Kevin Feige, who's presented the Marvel stuff, he was talking so fast and they were flinging up images, and I was on, it was a 4 hour presentation, 4.5 hour presentation. We were about 3 hours, 45 minutes in, and he was just peppering all this new stuff and I could not keep up. It was amazing how fast he could talk, and I can talk fast. So anyways, I'll go through this, at a perfect speed right now. First, we got the WandaVision trailer that everyone was waiting for. The series comes out to Disney Plus on January 15th. WandaVision is obviously Marvel. It's a series about the two characters, Wanda and Vision. And it looks really interesting. We got a trailer finally. We've getting lots of pictures. It was on the cover of Entertainment Weekly, so we got a lot of like sneak peeks, but we finally got a trailer and it looks really, really amazing. Just really well done. They jump around through different television time periods, like I Love Lucy to the 70s to the 90s. So yeah, check out the trailer at the disinsider.com if you're looking. A new film they're working on called Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness is coming on March 25th, 2022. The character America Chavez will appear in the film, and the film will also have a tie-in with both WandaVision and the upcoming Spider-Man 3 film coming in December of next year. So a Spider-Man 3 film, December next year, WandaVision, those both will be tied in with this new Doctor Strange film. We got a trailer for the upcoming Falcon and Winter Soldier series coming March 2021, so March of this year. They also confirmed that the Black Widow film will be released in theaters in May of this year. So that was another one. Black Widow's been bounced around since, I believe, spring of this year. And people were worried that they were just going to get sick of kicking it back and kicking it back and just put on Disney Plus. But they confirmed that they are going to release it in May of 2021, and they're going to stick to that, and it will be in theaters. This film, so solid theatrical release date. We got some video from the upcoming Loki series, which is expected in May of this year. So Loki is getting a series on Disney Plus. And they announced their first animated series for Disney Plus titled What If? And they released a trailer for it. So check those out. We also got an early look at Miss Marvel. And that was followed by the news that Captain Marvel 2 is being worked on currently with Nia DaCosta. They tied this up nicely by announcing that Miss Marvel will appear in Captain Marvel 2. So if you're kind of new to Marvel and how they've been doing stuff with Disney, we're currently in Phase 4. And this whole Phase 4, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, will all work together like the earlier phases did, with each movie and series kind of working with the other movies and series. And by that, I mean they cross over. Like, they don't act independently of each other. So, like, if you saw some of the earlier ones, like, you know, Captain America kind of crossed over to Iron Man, Spider-Man, they kind of all kind of blended together. And at the end, they had the Avengers, where they all came together. And, like, they all were purposefully together. It wasn't just for moments and stuff, right? Like, I know with Thor and Guardians of the Galaxy, like, they overlap a lot, so they do that, and they're doing that on purpose with all these new movies coming up for their Phase 4, where they're all going to overlap a bunch too, and it really just, it adds to a full universe. Fans really love it, and it actually led to the Avengers movies, which became the highest grossing films of all time, so clearly they know what they're doing. With all that said, though, Marvel did announce that they're going to release a film, Eternals, which is notably not part of Phase 4 plans. So it's a Marvel series and stuff, but it's got nothing to do really with the whole cinematic universe. But that thing's coming out on November 5th of this upcoming year, so about 11 months from now. And that will be in theaters, too, okay? The Eternals, not tied into the Phase 4 plan, and theaters. The new Marvel series coming to Disney Plus includes Hawkeye, which is filming right now and expected later this year with Jeremy Renner. She-Hulk, which is going to star Tatiana Maslany as She-Hulk. And it will feature an appearance from Mark Ruffalo, who is known for his role as the Hulk. And Marvel Studios is working on Moon Knight, which is coming to Disney Plus much later as well. So, three new additions were announced today coming to Disney Plus: A Secret Invasion, Iron Heart, and Armor Wars. Go check out the Disney Insider for more info on those. They dropped a big surprise that was fun to see. The Guardians of the Galaxy film series is going to create a holiday special for Disney Plus. This is being filmed during the filming of the most current film. Whoa. This is being filmed during the filming of the most current film and will be directed by James Gunn, who's directed the previous ones. This is actually also where they're going to be filming the pre-ride and on-ride video for the upcoming Epcot ride, Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, which is going to be in Epcot, and it should be done by probably the end of next year into 2022. It's going to be a crazy roller coaster where the car turns like an omni-mover while you're doing the roller coaster. It's going to be crazy. But it's going to be very, very intricate, a lot of amazing projections in terms of video. So they needed these films to start shooting so they could film the clips for the ride, right? Because they're not going to get everyone together and get all the hair, makeup, lighting, cameras going, director, everything just for a ride video if they can do it at the same time they're filming the feature film, right? So at the end of this Guardians news, we learned that they are working on a series of shorts entitled I Am Groot for Disney Plus, which you probably know exactly what that's going to be like without anything else. I Am Groot. They announced a new addition to the Ant-Man films, Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. Quantumania is being created by Peyton Reed, and for the final story regarding new content, Disney made the proper decision to not recast the character Black Panther with another actor after the passing of Chadwick Boseman. The franchise will continue, but it will follow other characters in the story. I think this was the right move, Bozeman's performance is legendary, and his passing was too painful for them to just plug in another actor, no matter how great this actor could have been. So they finished with that announcement, and it's hard, right? And they're going to continue this. Like I said, they're going to continue the film franchise, and they're just going to focus on other characters, and they'll expand on them. They're amazing at doing that. But I think that was just proper respect to Chadwick Boseman. No one else should fill that role. So yeah, that was it for new content. There you go. That was it. Just that. It's like over in a blink of an eye. There was a bunch more news regarding Disney's financials, so I won't bore you with them, but I will share a few things I found interesting. 1 year ago, I talked about this at the beginning, but I need to share it now to go with the whole conclusion. So 1 year ago, Disney Plus was released. They forecasted 60 to 90 million paid subscribers by the end of 2024. They've met that in 1 year, so Disney has updated that forecast to 230 to 260 million paid subscribers by the end of 2024. So that's a huge jump from 60 to 90 million in 5 years. After 1 year and hitting that already, they've upped it to 230 to 260 million. Last year, they forecasted Hulu would hit 40 to 60 million paid subscribers by the end of 2024. So in a 5 year period, that hit 40 to 60 million. After 1 year, they've increased that to 50 to 60 million. So they kept the top 60 million, but they increased the bottom from 40. They raised it up to 50. One of the reasons that one probably won't jump as high as Disney is because Disney is going to remember Hulu is just in the United States. Disney Plus is getting released in a lot of these large, like India and, these very populous areas. So there's a lot more customer to reach. And finally, with ESPN Plus, they forecasted in 5 years it would hit 8 to 12 million paid subscribers by the end of 2024. They have increased that forecast from 8 to 12 million to 20 to 30 million paid subscribers in the same time period. So the next 4 years, so 2024. Mind you, these forecasts were not, so the original forecast, you might hear and go, oh yeah, Disney just being like, creative and just downplaying. No, these forecasts were not Disney downplaying things dramatically. They were based on proper forecasting models that the financial industry follows. So it's just standard forecasting that everyone uses. they announced that they will triple their spending on Disney Plus from their original plan of 8 to 9, from their original plan is being tripled, and now they are going to be spending $8 to $9 billion in new content for Disney Plus by the end of 2024. So the next 4 years, $8 to $9 billion. And they're going to increase their total spending between Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus to $14 to $16 billion in the next 4 years. This is why they need those parks and the cruise ships to get going, because this streaming service is not expected to start making money until like 2024, right? Because there's a lot of costs involved right now. They're fine. They have the money. So they also announced, this is a real big deal. They announced a price hike for Disney Plus in the United States. And I hope you guys are going to be okay. It's $1 higher. $1 price hike. So they've increased the monthly charge for Disney Plus to $7.99. I hope you guys can be okay. I personally think that is still far too cheap. I think Disney could reasonably increase that by a lot more when you compare it to Netflix and HBO Max, which are nearly double Disney's price point. HBO Max is struggling right now. It really is struggling. So that is it. Well, actually, that wasn't all of it. I left out a few things, but that is basically it. A 4-hour presentation led by Disney CEO Bob Chapek, whom I met at Disneyland after I proposed to Paul. And he saw us with our We Just Got Engaged shirts. And he said, we were the gay couple and he's a straight man. But he for a moment, gayed it up and was like, oh, there's pixie dust everywhere. And so, some people may not like him. I will always love him for that. He was very kind to us and gave us a hug. And so CEO Bob Chapek, Disney Chairman Bob Iger, Disney CFO Christine McCarthy, Marvel's Kevin Feige, Lucasfilm's Kathleen Kennedy, Disney Animation's Jennifer Lee, Pixar's Pete Docter, and the heads of ESPN, FX, National Geographic, Hulu, and more. Thank you so much for checking this podcast out. I live tweeted the 4-hour event earlier today. I've been writing stories ever since. I wrote out tonight's script, and now I am recording it right around 2 in the morning. on the West Coast. I am both extremely exhausted, but I am still got a little bit of adrenaline, so hopefully I can sleep tonight. I'm excited to see how the stock market responds tomorrow. The after-hours trading indicated an extremely positive response. Hitting record-breaking highs, the real test will be when the market opens up. My guess will be that the stock price will reflect a strong and enthusiastic response from investors. It should also be noted that during the presentation, the advisory committee established by the FDA, so now we're talking government stuff, to review COVID-19 vaccines gave the Pfizer vaccine the thumbs up. This all but assures that the FDA will grant approval within a day or so. This news is huge for Disney as their parks, cruises, live theater, and box office returns are being destroyed by this thing. So the quicker the recovery can come, the faster Disney can be firing on all cylinders and truly create amazing things. With that, I want to say thank you for listening. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. If you like the show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen. These ratings really help the show find new listeners. I also ask that you share the podcast with friends and family who love Disney or any other subsidiaries. Also subscribe so you can get notifications when the new ones come out. They normally come out Friday. They come out Monday mornings, unless I do a special one like this. Monday mornings with the week's news, so you can kind of be all caught up, you know, for the week. All stories that I talked about can be found on thedizinsider.com. Follow the Diz Insider on Twitter and Instagram at the handle @thedizinsider or by searching the Facebook group, The Diz Insider. You can follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I am Sean Nyberg, SEANNYBERG, all one word, Sean Nyberg. Thank you for listening, and I will see you here at our normal time Monday morning for another edition of the Disney Beat Podcast. My name is Sean Nyberg. Stay safe.